Proverbs chapter 14. If you're not here and you're live streaming on the camera in cyberspace, just to give you the ambiance here, just a skeletal group here because we're live streaming, but there is one particular young mother who has come, and very inspiring for me to preach in that kind of a context. Thank you so much for ministering to all of us by being here this morning. It says in Proverbs 14:4, "Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are a thankful people. We thank you for the glorious gift of motherhood. Surely it reflects the wonder of your loving kindness. And we ask that through the looking glass of your word, we would catch a glimpse of it. And that, yes, we, and in mothers in particular, that they would be built up. But we also pray that you would be glorified. So we ask that your Holy Spirit would come to this echoing room because there are so few people here. But we ask that though only two or three are gathered, that, Lord Jesus, you would walk among us and do good to us in distant places. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a woman named Jean Fleming, and she describes a common experience of a dedicated mother of many who is finally, at the end of the day, able to crawl into bed, exhausted. And she writes this: "On a wintry night, the air in our bedroom is frigid. I slid under the blankets, even covering my head, hoping my warm breath will thaw my nose. At last, a toasty warmth envelopes me, and I drift toward sleep. But then, there's a hacking cough that disturbs the silence, and I wait. Maybe it'll go away if I just wait another minute or two. And I struggle with ambivalent feelings. Poor Beth. I guess I should fetch her some cough medicine. But I dread that shivering walk to the kitchen. And now I'm finally warm. Okay. If she coughs three more times, I'll get up. Oh, Lord, please help her to stop coughing. One more cough. Please, Beth, stop coughing. I whisper. Two more coughs. That makes three, and I can't delay any longer. And reluctantly, I pull on the socks and a robe, and I drag myself off to her aid." Can you relate to that at all, moms? And upon arriving at such bedsides after a late night awakening, mothers have found anything from coughing mouths to runny or bloody noses to dirty diapers to wet beds to vomit-soaked sheets and even to tear-filled faces. Because this motherhood thing, is it true? It can be a very messy business, can't it? Well, to such child-preoccupied servants of God, that proverb I read, 14:4, provides volumes of encouragement. Listen to what it says. "Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox." That's worth repeating. Proverbs 14:4, "Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox." We're just going to focus on that this morning. And we'll seek to unpack it under four main headings. Before we get to those four, let me just insert a pillowy comfort here. And this is for Hannah's. And here I'm referring to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Remember how Hannah was hindered and bothered by Peninnah. Hannah had no children. Peninnah had many children, and she made Hannah feel terrible. Let me just bring comfort for some dear Hannahs who are providentially maybe without children, to whom such a message like this on a Mother's Day may just be a downright Penina-like irritation. I want to assure you that we highly esteem your labors in the Lord, and I assure you that, like with Hannah, your Heavenly Father has plans for you. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, He knows the plans He has for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, and plans not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future. And I can't help but think of a particular Hannah who year after year after year would hear from me, from this very pulpit, motherhood messages, and she would stare at me with hurt in her heart. And now off in cyberspace in a living room somewhere in the Lakeshore area, she's there with three adopted sons. And there her house maybe isn't all that clean, but she has these little ones to delight her days, and yes, even her nights. And even for those who maybe aren't married, I just want to remind you that in Acts 16, there's a woman, her name is Lydia. She is a merchant in purple fabrics, and God had a great kingdom purpose and role for Lydia, childless seemingly as well. So with that, let's go to this proverb. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox. Four main headings, and the first is its agricultural picture. Its agricultural picture. And there are two contrasting pictures here that we're going to look at as we look at the picture. First, consider with me the immaculate but unproductive barn. The immaculate but unproductive barn. Now, ancient barns or stables were often dug into the side of hills. It's possible that Jesus was born in such a cave-like barn and laid there in a manger. That's the wording of Luke chapter 2, verse 7, describing the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. Now, sometimes in the ancient East, barns were attached to a farmer's dwelling, kind of like a garage to our homes. But they could also be freestanding. Luke 12:18 speaks of that rich man who built barns and stuffed them full with wealth. Well, in such places, such barns, livestock would be housed and fed. So I want you to step into an oxless barn with me. No oxen in this one. Look. No muscular beasts which would do the great work of plowing up a field for planting. But look what's here. It's immaculate, isn't it? It's perfectly clean here. The manger, that feeding trough, perfectly clean. There's no feed slop, no corn dust, no beastly saliva there, no smegma, one might say. In fact, everything is just spick and span here. In fact, you could eat off the floor. No hay here, no mud here. There are no unsightly hoof prints, no manure piles, no urine puddles, and no buzzing flies in this barn. And smack, the smell is antiseptic. It's fresh. Everything's just perfectly in order here. But there's a downside to this tidiness. And that's when you come with me outside the barn. Look at the acreage. It's overrun with weeds. Look at the fields beyond. They're untilled and they're uncultivated. Look at the grain crib over here. It's empty. Well, why is that? Well, there's no ox here to cut open the soil with the plow blade. And so, no seed was ever hidden in the fields, and no harvest was ever reaped. You see, there's no increase here, because the proverb says, where no oxen are, the manger is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of the ox. No increase here around this barn, so poverty reigns. And if I take you into the house, you'd see that the cupboards are bare there. So we're looking at the agricultural picture. The first we've seen is the immaculate but unproductive barn. come on with me to a second one, and that is the soiled but unprofitable barn. We're still looking at the agricultural picture. I want you to step into the ox-inhabited barn now. Whew! You smell it, don't you? The manure and the urine and the hay and the mud and the flies, they make it anything but fresh and sweet in here. Oh, look over there. Here comes Farmer Elimelech. He's got a shovel thrown over his shoulder. It's to clean up the mess. He's late this morning because he was up till about 2 a.m. to help deliver an ox calf. Because, you see, it's a huge task to feed and house and look after these enormous beasts. Oxen, they're called. Why does he put up, Farmer Elimelech, with all this grief and messiness and aggravation? Well, it's because, as the proverb says, where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox. Let's just look at this word, increase, as we consider this soiled barn. Increase means revenue or yield or income, profit or gain. There's much increase when there's an ox in the barn. You see, oxen, these mighty plodders, they knife open the soil, enabling the nestling of the seed in rows, resulting in the eventual swaying of wheat and barley and the overflowing of barns and the rolling of full wagons to the marketplace and the piling up on the kitchen table with bounty and the providing of riches for one's family and the giving a bulging heritage in a state. So we're in this smelly barn. And it's not very tidy. It's not very immaculate. It's not very fresh smelling, but the yield here, the increase, makes this barn a far better barn than the first barn. So we've seen then the agricultural picture and those two barns. Come on now to our second of four main headings, and that is its profound principle. Its profound principle, just in a nutshell, or as 14:4 teaches, where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox. It teaches that enduring and worthwhile gain comes only at the cost of draining upheaval. There's a modernized slogan version of that, and what is it? You know what it is. No pain, no gain. That's what we have, the profound principle. Derek Kidner, in fact, entitles this proverb, listen, neat but negative. Just think of the dear woman who dreams of an immaculate house. You dream of it, don't you? It's uncluttered by the tramplings and inconveniences of a small herd of messy offspring. In fact, Kidner sympathetically comments, orderliness can reach the point of sterility, meaning uselessness. And Kidner goes on, this proverb is not a plea for slovenliness, physical or moral, he says, but for the readiness to accept upheaval and a mess to clear up as a price of growth. That's the principle here. Kidner concludes by encouraging us to foster a farmer's outlook rather than a curator's outlook. Curator. You know what that word means? Curator. A curator is the manager of an art gallery. Now, stereotypically, a curator, and I've been to an art gallery a few in my day, the curator is so obsessed with the tidiness, neatness, and quietness of his little art gallery, his little realm, that he's actually irritated by the trampling of little visitors. And when they come in to his art gallery, he snaps at them, "Don't touch, don't get near that." See, he's more committed to cosmetic compliments than he is to educational benefits. So that's the profound principle here. No pain, no gain. Increase will cost you something. Leads us then to our third main heading, and that is its maternal implications. And here I just want to bring two. So here, instead of contrasting barns, let's contrast two homes in bringing the mommy implications here. Consider first the immaculate but unproductive home. Come on in with me. The mistress of this home has a curator's mindset. Approaching her house, when we were out in the front yard, we strolled by her perfectly manicured lawn, didn't we? And then we stepped inside to her vanilla, candled, scented living room, then on to her spotless and perfectly combed carpet. It's immaculate. It's gorgeous, isn't it? It's just like an art gallery. We ask, how in the world does she do it? Let me tell you how. Well, Tiffany and Randy, these are the two that live in this house, they absolutely love style and neatness and order. See, to Tiff and Randy, these things are a high priority with them. So frankly, they don't want their lives and their careers and their home cluttered with the messiness of kids. Oh, they think that maybe someday they'll have a child, but honestly, the thoughts of doing that kind of make Tiff break out into a rash. They enjoy cutting-edge curtains and a fashionable wardrobe and sharp late-model cars. And as a result of that, they're able to channel their dual incomes to the acquiring of their wants. Look over there at that coffee table. That was imported from South America. Isn't that sharp? Look at the blown-up black and white framed photograph there on the wall. That's from last year's Hawaii vacation. Man, that's cool. The kitchen calendar. Come on over there. You see in the by the refrigerator there. It's really quite clean and unsullied, with the exception of Randy's scheduled softball games on Monday and Wednesday and Friday. And look on the calendar, during which time Tiffany does her workouts with her personal trainer at the fitness club. And then look on the calendar. On Saturday, Tiff drops or shops while Randy goes off and golfs. And the rest of the time, well, they just have time for being alone and falling more in love with each other. So that's the immaculate but unproductive home. Remember, we're looking at maternal implications. But secondly, for mommy implication, just consider the soiled but profitable home. It's a different house, different yard. The mistress of this house has not a curator's mindset, but a farmer's mindset. In approaching her house, we stroll by her lawn, which is blemished by, you see them there? Four unsightly bare spots, which suspiciously give her front yard the look of a baseball diamond. Then we step inside to her carpet that's marred by some pretty heavily worn traffic areas. That scratch on the wall over there, that came from her son Tom's banging his science project when he tripped over his little brother Joe's baseball glove. And then we see Rick and Joan. There they are. And we also understand they have five children. And there's Joan. Joan's wardrobe is it's very pleasant, but it's not cutting edge. And then in the garage, their not-so-late model cars reflect the high cost of kids. And then in the laundry room are three basketfuls of clothes waiting to be folded. And on the kitchen table, a pile of books, as Rick and Joan spend much time helping their children with studies and with homework. Let's look at their calendar in the kitchen there. Oh, it's cluttered with child-enriching events like music and swim lessons and baseball and soccer practices and caddying and paper route duties. And look, next Saturday, there's a 5K run for which the whole family is signed up. So, you catch the maternal implications here? The mommy differences between the two homes? Think of the proverb again. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of the ox. And that leads us, fourthly and finally, to the lifestyle applications. The lifestyle applications. And here I have three to work with. The first one is, resign yourself, Mom, resign yourself to a degree of upheaval. With the auction of children, our domestic barns, the immaculate lifestyle of Tiffany will surely prove elusive. You're not going to be able to find that. Now just remember Kidner's important qualification. Remember what he said? This proverb is not a plea for slovenliness. So a godly wife and a mother, we might even say a woman of dominion, because Genesis 1:26 says that we are to subdue and rule. A godly wife and mother will not be careless. She'll strive to maintain an orderly household, an overgrown yard, ransacked rooms, and a sink stacked high with dirty dishes. Don't glorify God, who loves things that are being done decently and in order. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:40. And there are numerous proverbs about the sluggard and the slothful one. I went by the house of the sluggard, and the wall was broken down, and everything was overgrown. It'll sleep, it'll slumber, it'll fold in the hands of rest. Poverty will come on you like a bandit. So this is not a plea for slovenliness at all, or much oxen are. There may be clutter. But understand this. The immaculate tranquility of Tiffany's house will be an impossible achievement for a woman committed to the rearing of mighty creatures who will plow hard for the kingdom. I suppose a mother could keep things neat as a pin if her goal was to have just one or two low-maintenance children of the sheltered variety to whom she selfishly communicated, just go to your room and don't bother us there. Then you might have a really neat-as-a-pin house. But if a mother is bent on raising up mighty children, capable children, brave, bold, daring, adventuresome, God-fearing, dominion-minded children, then she needs to kiss goodbye to any aspiration of that immaculate, neat-as-a-pin tranquility. Because oxen who go out and turn soil over and children who go out and turn the world upside down, those kinds of creatures make messes. But a godly woman of dominion who wants to subdue and rule is willing to pay the price of domestic upheaval for the prospects and the increase of kingdom profit. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Seek first the kingdom of God. Our burning desire is that God's kingdom would come. And so, there will be more corner cobwebs, Mommy, than you'd like, because instead of obsessively cleaning, you'll be nursing and teaching to read and ride bikes and telling bedtime stories. Your front lawn, it may be blemished with dandelions because your husband assigned your 13-year-old son, you know, he needs to learn responsibility, right? Your husband assigned him to spray weed killer on the grass instead of dad's doing it perfectly himself. And so the outcome isn't very perfect either. And because you let your children finger paint and do Play-Doh today, your kitchen isn't going to pass any white glove inspection test tonight. And then your Lord's Day mornings. You know what I mean when I say your Lord's Day mornings. They aren't as tranquil as you'd like because it takes time before Sunday school to find a matching sock and to help polish the memory verses and to get the munchkins all into the car on time. And car, now that you mentioned that car, it's not as new as you'd like, is it? And this is due to the dollars and time poured into feeding those creatures, educating them, nurturing them, and rounding out those kids. Did I speak about rounded out kids? Yes, and I think that we do. You do, Amma. You do want well-rounded kids. You're not content to have them just aimlessly kicking up dust in the backyard and sitting around playing computer games or sequestered away in their sheltered bedrooms, staring at their telephones. You're not content with that. And that's why your calendars may be cluttered. Cluttered with soccer games or basketball games or baseball games. I know it's a lot easier to just relax at home. But you, Mommy, you may be convinced that athletics can possibly be greatly used to cultivate important character traits like submission to authority. Mama, the dumb calls you out and knew you were safe, and you have to submit. You think that's an important thing. Maybe athletics can teach self-discipline and self-control and a hardworking spirit and courage and teamwork and endurance and focus and poise. And Mom, you may be convinced that pressure brings out character issues on the surface. So you may use music lessons. You ever been involved with music lessons yourself, Mom? Or maybe 4-H projects to accomplish the same kind of character molding results. And you may even spend a lot of time driving your teenage son way across town for his job. Just instead of that, the McDonald's. The McDonald's is really nearby. But you're willing to go way across town because you want him to be mentored by a godly boss in a work environment with wholesome peers. So you clutter up your schedule with those long drives. And then your evening schedules, well, they may be clogged by a commitment after dinner to spend time reading and discussing the Bible and then praying for the needs of your family and your friends and your church and your vacations. Do you think your vacations are spent in 5-star hotels as you'd like? No, often spent at campgrounds and canvas tents. This is not what you dreamed of when you were young and had romantic aspirations. And then, I'm talking about schedules here. What about your sleep schedule? Well, that's going to, because where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox. Your sleep schedule is often messed up by a coughing child or a crying infant. Or you think now it's an issue, you just wait. When that crying infant becomes a fearful daughter, and then you're awakened by maybe a late night talk, because listen, I'm here to tell you right now, Mommy, they're little now, I know, but they're hiding owl-like personalities often come out at night. And then they have things to hoot to you and tell you about. Their teen problems often heat up later in the evenings. And then you got to strike while the iron is hot, though your body is really weary. And then after they told you those things, late at night, you don't sleep very well because concerns for their young souls haunt you in the dark, don't they? They do. And then mornings after that, mornings come way too soon, and you've got to rise up in time to read your Bible and pray to your Lord so that you'll have something to give during the dawning new day. And then, of course, such a commitment takes its toll on your health. It's already doing that, isn't it? Even if you're a young mummy, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, you're drained as you may be plagued by enduring fatigue and a lowered resistance to illness. And what about your love life with your husband? None of these things help that love life. Romantic rendezvous with your spouse. Remember those date and quiet nights? They often must take a back seat to nurturing your little herd. There's a young man sitting in the front row who's wife is pregnant with their first. He's looking at me with open eyes saying, "What? Yeah?" In about 25 years, she'll begin to sing you to sleep at night again, like maybe she does now. But when that baby comes, there may be a long lag between verses. Now, of all these upheavals, the Tiffanys of this world know nothing. But they are also, Mom, strangers to your greatness, of which they might not know much either. So that's our first main application, and that is resign yourself to a degree of upheaval. Secondly, let go of your right to personal leisure. That's a hard one. Let go of your right to personal leisure. The oxen proverb struck me as a man. We don't know the half of the realities of it, but it struck me as a man years ago when our children were quite young. Many years ago, I had just returned from a marathon weekend of ministry out west. I boarded the plane before dawn that Friday. I'm talking about a Monday, but I'm telling you what happened before I got to the Monday I'm going to describe. I boarded the plane before dawn on Friday, and there out west I hit the ground running with draining meetings and counseling sessions, and I preached three times on Sunday. I counseled late in the Sunday night. I woke at 4 a.m. to drive hours to catch a plane back home, where I arrived back home in Michigan around 5:30 p.m. Monday, and I was absolutely frazzled and fatigued and exhausted. And I craved body and soul just to crash in relaxation. But then after my dinner, my dear bride, my dear wife, wondered if I might be interested in, listen to this one, taking the boys to the seminary indoor pool to continue the swimming lessons that I'd been giving them. Now, I admit, this suggestion sounded to me like fingernails on a chalkboard, and I wanted to run away and hide, because my emotions just shrieked in protest. This meant, as I thought through it all, the flowchart, that I'd have to pack up the towels and the suits, bundle them all up, drive through the snow. Yes, it was one of those weeks in Michigan. And as I pondered all those things, there stood those three boys just staring at me at this time. And they were all eager to go. And one had already started doggy paddling, and they all needed endurance training. And it just hit me at that point. That's when it hit me. I've not been commissioned at this stage in my life to enjoy leisure, but I've been called to be a father. And fathering, if it's anything, is giving, giving, giving. And I thought to myself, my goal is not to raise low-maintenance children, but lion-hearted ones. As a friend of mine used to say, even many years ago, I know his name is Ray. He would say, "I want to train up thoroughbreds to the glory of God." And if you know Ray, you know how he said it. So we went to the pool that night. And it was a defining moment for me as a parent. And just a little side note, and there one of my sons actually soiled his suit due to after-dinner swimming. And I found myself cleaning his loose stool droppings off the shower, locker room, and bathroom floors. Because isn't it true the proverb says, where no oxen are, the manger is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of the ox. Well, my defining moment as a man, frankly, is a mother's continual experience. Isn't it? Like Nancy Wilson, she writes about motherhood. She says this, "It can mean little time for novel reading, not too many long phone calls, and not much socializing. The home and the children are the first priority. Bathing the children, keeping their clothes clean, feeding them, and teaching them are all part of a full-time job that requires planning, stamina, and a heart that's committed to work. No oxen are the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox." Yeah, it does require planning, stamina and a heart that's committed to work. In fact, motherhood is an awful lot like saviorhood, isn't it? Thinking of the Lord Jesus, how in his ministry he needed rest, he needed a vacation. Come away with me, he said to his disciples in Mark chapter 6. Come away with me to a lonely place to rest a while. But let me just read what the passage says in Mark 6, beginning at 31. Jesus said to them, come away with me to a lonely place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Is this true? And they went away in a boat to a lonely place by themselves. And people saw them going, and many recognized them. And they ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of time. And when he went ashore, he saw a great multitude, just like staring at him. And he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And I began to teach them many things. Think of the Lord Jesus. This is the Lord's day. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And think of the Lord Jesus' service and how he saw us in our sin. And the Lord Jesus gave himself for us. And he cleaned up the vomit of our sin with the mop of his own body. And he served us with better than mother love. He sacrificed himself for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And we who are foul and have a scent on us that would doom us on judgment day, we can be made Lysol immaculate, spick and span clean for judgment day. If we come to the Lord Jesus, who like a mother hen says, come to me, all you who are weary and filthy and heavy laden, come to me. I will give you rest. Better than mother love calls you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for sinners just like us. And just mother, oh, sinners come to Jesus on this Lord's Day, but on this Mother's Day, mother, just consider how the Lord Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself to the point of giving his life, mother, listen to me, giving his life, mother, to death, even death on a cross. You ever feel like that? You're taking up the cross of motherhood every day. But he did not regret it because in the end, he was given the name that was above every name. The servant of all is the greatest of all. Mothers, walk with your head held high as you carry that cross because you're walking in the footsteps of the Savior. And the last day, you won't regret laying down your life for others either. So, keeping livestock and nurturing children and saving sheep all require the relinquishment of well-deserved leisure. But just lastly and thirdly, a final application as we're trying to apply this. We said the first application was resign yourself to a degree of upheaval. Secondly, let go of your right to personal leisure. Now, thirdly and finally, just meditate on your worthwhile harvest. Meditate on your worthwhile harvest. Tiffany may relish her shallow and temporary self-indulgence. Her increase, because it says, where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox. Tiffany's increase and harvest are kind of fleeting, kind of short-lived. Her designer curtains and her expensive wardrobes, they won't rise up and call her blessed. That's what it says about the proverbial woman in Proverbs 31, verse 28. Her children, eventually, they don't stay little and low to the ground, always, but they get tall, like maybe that Michael guy. He may end up being 6 foot. Children rise up, it says, and call her blessed. And just think of how when the summer of Tiffany's childless, maybe by decision, jet-set youth dwindles away, then Tiffany enters into the autumn of middle age and the winter of senior citizenry, and, you know, her empty soul may gnaw within while gazing over unplowed fields. Nothing's rising up there, and she may have a poverty of heart. But I think to the contrary, not so with the selfless mother of dominion, seeking the glory of Christ and not the satisfaction of self. The selfless mother who was willing to endure decades of upheaval and messiness, there may be a different story. God willing, she will be able to, new picture here, watch from the grandstands, the increase of her thoroughbred training. So I'm kind of likening her children not to being oxen, but to be horses. Because that one friend of mine said, I'm raising my children to be thoroughbreds, he'd say. Okay. But maybe you see that mom in older age sitting in the grandstands looking over the Churchill Downs. And God willing now, look how her high spirit and accomplished horses run the race of life. God willing. It's not by anything you do, Mom. If they run hard, it's not because you're a great trainer. Because the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ working together with your giving of the gospel and laboring. But God willing, look how her high spirit and accomplished horses run the race in such a way as to win the prize. And the breathtaking sight of that brings to that mommy's heart a fullness of soul that causes all the years of upheaval to just evaporate into a fleeting vapor as she's able to feast all winter long. What do I mean by that? Maybe all through her old age. You're about 75 now, sir. Your old age, what satisfaction? Can you hug a Mercedes? You don't have one. But a Mercedes won't hug you back, and there's not much satisfaction there. But this woman who's given to her herd, she's able to feast all winter long in her old age and into eternity on the fruit of her hands. That says in Proverbs 31:31. The fruit of her hands is sweet. So, moms, just consider how the proverb is true. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean. And you could have that. But much increase comes by the strength of the ox, the comfort of your soul, and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close with a final hymn.